You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
He's seen as a joke.
It's weird, man.
I think he's actually going to skate along on a huge steaming pile of BS.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush this afternoon. The round table is here. Christy Blatchford from the National Post. Bill Carroll, host of The Bill Carroll Show, Fridays at 2 o'clock, and host of The Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. And Robert Benzi, Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
Hello. Love your hair, Christy.
Thank you.
I ran into her on the weekend where she gets her hair done.
Yes, I was thinking, what is she talking about?
You weren't the only one.
We're inside jokes.
Oh, you had a stalker for a second.
I was too stupid to get it.
I knew that you'd ask for an explanation, then it'd be at everybody.
There you go.
All right, opening up this afternoon, teenage climate change activist Greta Thunberg today opening the United Nations Climate Action Summit, and she was throwing high heat.
You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Now, Christy, when we originally decided to have this conversation on The Rush today, the angle we were taking, and I thought rightly so, was that if you didn't feel something from that young girl's impassioned plea, there was probably, you know, a glacier that was melting inside your heart. And I was really amazed the amount of people that just pushed back completely the opposite way on our text board at 71010 saying, this kid's an actress, she's being used, it's just rhetoric. I was actually a little bit surprised by that.
Oh, there's a glacier in my heart that didn't melt. I'm not a big fan of young Greta. I appreciate her passion. Obviously, she's a very thoughtful, bright kid. I have no issue with her. What I have an issue with is, you know, the systems, educational, I presume parental, which, you know, scare the living daylights out of children like her. And in this case, turned her into an activist who is hectoring everybody. I'm sorry, it left me a bit chilled.
Bill, do you think it's maybe necessary that we scare kids a little bit?
No, I don't think so. But make no mistake, there is a whole generation of kids who are all in on the environment, and there is no national political party in most Western countries within the next 5 or 10 years that will ever get elected unless they are serious about climate change. That's a reality. But, you know, it's a little over the top. No, I mean, I see someone this age and I think to myself, we stole your childhood. I don't know, did maybe your parents steal your childhood by trying to turn you into this environmental star instead of letting you hang out with the other kids? That's why people roll their eyes at it. It's all just a bit too much. And we've had kids like this in Canada too, young people who were out there starting foundations. And, you know, you always just kind of go, oh, please. But yeah, there's a message there that has to be heard. I don't have any doubt about that. It's a big problem. Sometimes I think it's an even bigger problem than the hyperbole suggests. But scaring the hell out of our kids when they should be in school, I don't think is the answer.
And Robert, you have a kid in university, yeah, and one that's in high school.
Yeah, 14-year-old and a 17-year-old.
So what's,
yeah,
the 14 thinking about this?
I think that they know a lot about Greta and they know who she is and what she's saying. And I think they feel that maybe adults aren't taking this as seriously as we should. I mean, my son said to me, why didn't we buy an electric car? Why do we have a gas powered car? And you know, it's a good point, I guess. But I think Bill's right. If politicians don't start taking this seriously, political parties start taking it seriously, they're going to have a whole generation of people who are just going to be disillusioned with the mainstream parties. And, you know, who knows? I don't know if that means that there's going to be a green revolution in Canada politically in a decade or in 20 years. But certainly the suggestions are we need to do something.
Let's talk a little bit about what the city is doing. Violent criminals who have been evicted from their TCHC units will no longer be able to immediately return to their buildings. The province has empowered landlords to reject applications based on one's criminal history.
These changes will now allow TCHC to say to people who have already been evicted for serious criminal behavior, no, you are not coming back to terrorize the good people who live in the building where you once lived and from which you were evicted. No longer will these people be able to take advantage of this vital public service and make life less safe for others.
Christy, I think it's a good approach, a smart approach, but the one question I still have here is, are we creating, you know, greater criminals if we evict them from TCHC? They have to live somewhere, and I don't know where that somewhere is.
I don't either, and I think what there has to be is very strict criteria. In other words, if your criminal record consists of, a fight as a juvenile in which no one was really hurt, and some shoplifting and, you know, dope smoking back in the day, which wasn't so long ago when it was still illegal, then you're not the kind of tenant who should be prohibited from going into TCHC. But if you were a gang member, if you committed violent offenses, particularly offenses with handgun, etc., then absolutely, there's no social right to be able to live in a building of your choice. It's not like a constitutional right, I don't think. So I think many of the people in these buildings have effectively been taken hostage by the gang members who live nearby or within them. And I think if you want to put an end to it, you've got to give TCHC some tools.
Bill, do you agree with this idea?
I do. I love this idea. I agree with Christy. They want to make sure it's really violent offenders and not just minor offenders. But it reminds me of the debates in California about the three strike law, where everybody jumps two ahead. And they go, well, what if someone's got two strikes against them and then they have a simple drug possession charge? They're going to jail for life. Well, how many criminal convictions do you guys have in this room collectively, would you say? You might be mistaken.
Everyone's looking at side glances here, Bill.
We're all looking at Ryan. But we can all make a mistake, right? Or we could all be wrongly convicted once.
Sure.
But what about twice? Or what about three times? Come on. Here's the thing, and it's the same with this now. We're all skipping ahead in the debate. Well, do we really want to leave these people homeless? How about you are now on notice? If you commit a criminal offense, you will not be able to live there anymore. Stop committing crimes. That's the word. Let's focus the debate on that. People from now on, knowing this, are going to make choices. I don't think we should be going retroactively and saying, okay, well, 10 years ago you committed a crime, get out. But from this moment on, if you commit a crime and you're convicted, you can't go back in. That's all we need to do. Committing a crime is a totally avoidable thing.
Robert, it's interesting because the mayor says he's written to the, multiple provincial governments, not just this one. It seems this one picked it up and said, yeah, we're going to do something about it.
Yeah, this seems like a smart move. I know the mayor's been asking for this for a long time, to give more power to, frankly, you're empowering, frankly, the residents of these communities, these housing projects, most of whom are 90-odd percent of them are honest, decent folks who are just trying to make a better life for themselves. And then there's a small group of bad apples that spoil it for everyone else and make their lives really scary. And I think it's a good move.
As Toronto's Board of Health debated asking the province to remove philosophical and religious exemptions for required vaccinations in schools today, several dozen anti-vaxxers demanded that the committee back down.
Vaccination is voluntary in Canada and is simple. No thank you is all that is required. I always tell my kids to say no to drugs, because we all have the freedom to refuse to have our skin broken, our bodies assaulted with an injection against our will.
Now, enough anti-vaxxers were on hand today, Christy, that an overflow room was actually needed, and there were tons of very passionate people. So for me, it's one of two things. Is it the fact that the discussion around vaccination is not as settled as we thought it was, or is this just really good Facebook organizing?
I suspect the latter, and, vaccines are terrific. They save lives. They keep up herd mentality so that the very few who for religious reasons don't want to have their skin broken. God forbid, the charter right to not having your skin broken. What the hell is that woman talking about? It's time to do this. There are a lot of people with ignorance-based philosophical objections to vaccines. They ought not to be able to object and send their children to public school. If you object and you don't want one, your kid doesn't get to go to school.
Yeah, I know Bill today, Ryan, actually wanted to go one step further and say to these people that were showing up to anti-vax, just basically bring your health cards with you and we'll just cut them up there on the spot and just get it all done in one fell swoop.
Yeah, because when the streets are filled with people who are bleeding from every opening in their body with something like Ebola, and they say, you know, we have a vaccine. They will be lining up for it when the time comes. Now, we've seen a few people die because of their religious convictions, right? Blood transfusions and others. There are some who go all the way there, but, you know, most people, it's pretty easy to say, I'm not having my skin broken, counting on the rest of you to go and get your shots to protect them. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of going to get my shot to protect them. I'm sick of my kids crying when they get their needles so that we can protect them. I'm tired of it. I'm doing my part. They should do theirs. And if not, well, guess what? We should not only ban you from our schools, we should ban you from all of our health institutions as well. Can't come to a hospital now. Sorry, you made a choice.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting decision to witness come game day, whether or not you had to leave the whole system or stay within it.
Yeah, I mean, Jay, it's scary to me that there are this many people in our city, in a, you know, the major financial center of the country, a sophisticated cosmopolitan place, and there are a lot of these people who seem to get all their information from the internet and have no, that has no root in reality, and it's anti-science. I think these people are, I'm actually worried for their children. I think they're cretins, and they should be not allowed to yip and yap the way they were today.
Yeah, it's very fair. This is your story from the Toronto Star today about the premier blasting Trudeau's unacceptable donning of blackface. He also said if it was a conservative, it would have been a different story, I guess, saying that there's a double standard here when it comes to the media's treatment of this particular incident.
I think the premier made these comments to Colin DeMello of CFTO on CTV News Toronto on Friday, and it was very interesting. We revisited it today, and it quickly became one of the most read stories on the Star's website because a lot of people hadn't heard what he had said, and I think that he made an interesting point. I don't know if I agree that the media is being softer on Trudeau, but I think certainly the party is being softer on Trudeau. I think if a Tory leader was caught with blackface on numerous times, I think that the party itself would probably rise up against him.
Christy, is there a bit of a double standard here?
I think there probably is. I really can't conceive of a conservative leader or a candidate or MP who wouldn't have immediately been run out of town, particularly, of course, on social media, because that's where it happens most. But absolutely. It didn't have, you know, we were talking a minute ago about Toronto housing and, you know, the California three strikes and you're out law. Well, I mean, we have three strikes. Why isn't he out? What are these consequences that he says, you know, I take responsibility, and that it's a meaningless phrase. There have been no consequences for him. Tiny dip in the polls, maybe, probably temporary. People are very willing to find, make, and give him excuses and the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think that kind of largesse would have been ever granted to a conservative leader. I really don't.
We're going to have to call it there. Thank you so much, Christy Blatchford, Robert Benzie, Bill Carroll. Thank you all.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Media bias. I didn't get to talk.
No. So, yeah, we shut you out of the conversation.